Hi, this is Ted Newman. I'd like to welcome you to the Pet Health Podcast. Tonight I'm with somebody I know very well. She's a young lady who has got her own grooming business, and we're going to be talking about general animal welfare and grooming matters. And I'd like to introduce to you Jan.
Hello, Ted.
Hi, Jan. To get started, could you just tell anybody about your business and everything?
Yeah, right, okay. I've been pet grooming, cats and dogs, for the past nearly 4 years now. I am a veterinary nurse as well, and started training as a groomer while still working as a veterinary nurse, but has since left that profession and taken this on full time. I've got a small business that I run from an outbuilding from my home. Usually do about 3 or 4 animals a day. The things that most of my owners like is the fact that I only have one dog in at a time, or two if you obviously own two. A lot of people like that because an awful lot of dogs are upset by, one, having to stay away from the owners for 3 or 4 hours at a time, and two, it's just very busy in an ordinary salon. Here I can be with the dogs, it's hands-on for about an hour and a half. They get my sole attention for that time, which they love once the owners have gone out of the door. And then they're just so pleased to see the owner when they come back in. It seems to work out very, very well. I'm happy with this routine.
That's very good. And how long have you been doing this?
Nearly 4 years now.
Nearly 4 years. Yeah. And how long were you a veterinary nurse?
Oh, my goodness. I qualified back in 73, so we're talking an awful lot of years.
An awful lot of years.
Regarding the handling, it was so good when I was training as to do the grooming, mainly because I had the advantage, one, of years, and two, and I've always been around animals, so I'm able to read them. These poor girls that were actually training with me, they're obviously being a little bit younger and not working in the animal industry as I have for so many years. It's very difficult to read dog behaviour unless you've been there and done it for as long as I have. So I really was one up on them. And I used to show my dog years ago as well, so I know reasonably well what a good dog should look like.
Get started with general sort of topic. Why do you think it's important that animals are groomed regularly? And is there an average time between groomings, or does it just depend on the animal or the owner?
We're talking about at home grooming.
Home grooming. Yeah,
not coming to a salon or anything. Yeah, well, really, I think it has to do the coat and the skin good to be groomed regularly. It does stimulate the skin, brings all the natural oils through to the hair, so that has to be good. And maybe even better than that is the fact that you do have your hands on to your animals. You're touching every part of your animal rather than just its head, its shoulders when it comes up for a little bit of fuss in the evening. So really you're having to touch every part of it. Anything abnormal that you come across, you've nipped in the bud. You can find veterinary help if you should need it very, very quickly. So it has to be that. Also, I think you're building up a little bit of respect for yourself from your dog. You know, you're making it to do something that at first, they're not particularly keen on standing still and having somebody sort of rake a comb over them. But, you know, you put yourself at the top of the pack and say, you know, this is what's going to happen, and that's that. And it's a healthy respect that's earned for you through that.
Yeah, and with that, with grooming all these years, I mean, is there a certain way that you go about it? You sort of start at the head or...
Technique for grooming. I think really just get yourself into a routine. Do a bit of the dog. Some people say it's best to start maybe on the rear leg, work their way up over the hindquarters, down the side, to the foreleg, across the neck, across the back, and then repeat the other side and then go around the throat. Yeah. So I think as long as you stick to a routine and just do a bit thoroughly.
Yeah. So, and do you think really the dog itself will let the owner know whether through its reactions whether it likes it or not? Or?
Oh no, it's very obvious whether they like it or not. Yeah. But you start young. You know, you get your puppy through the door within that first week. Then you get your little comb out. You find a surface for your dog, an area that is going to be the grooming area. Yes, the dog's got to enjoy it, but you don't want it to be a game either. So it's, you know, get a little puppy there, little and often. It's fine, sort of daily. I'd certainly do it 2 or 3 times a day at first. Then, reaching adulthood, then it really dependent on the coat. You've got dogs like your Tibetan Terrier, like the Old English, anything with a lengthy coat, high-maintenance coat, they really should be groomed daily. A dog similar to boxers, the smooth-haired coats, the Dalmatians, was probably once a week. You could get away with slightly more time in between grooms with those, but then you are missing out any possible problems with that animal. if you leave it an awful lot longer than that.
All right. And for people who want to do this at home, people who are interested in just making the dog look a bit more respectable, what is the sort of basic toolkit they would require?
Right, okay. The best thing you can get is something called a slicker brush. This is a rectangular-headed brush with little pins, little metal pins coming from it. It sounds awful, but it's not. You have to be a little bit careful. You can use it too roughly and get brush burn. But there are the Mickey make, M-I-K-K-I make. They do a nice cat one now with a sort of little plastic ball end of the slicker brush. And that is a very, very good tool. I'm using that more and more on cats or dogs. It's usually sold as a cat tool, but I'm tending to use it on everything now. So you first brush your coat through with that. If it's a long-haired dog, lift up a layer and then brush the coat down from the body downwards and then just let the layers come down until you reach the top. Once you've done that, you need, as well as the slicker brush, you could have a pin or a bristle brush. These are quite handy for dogs. Again, like the beardy, a slicker brush you could never use on a show dog. You don't want to use that on a show dog. It can actually break the hair. So the pin or bristle brush comes into its own there. They do the same job as a slicker, maybe not quite as slickly. But they are very, very good for the long-haired cut dog. They will actually loosen any mats, any knots in the hair. Once they have been loosened, then you could move on to your comb. This should be sort of a long teeth, medium width, and then at the end of the comb it should have sort of fine teeth. This will sort out the little mats behind the ears and places like that. As regards the smooth-haired dogs, you could use a plastic mitt or a hound glove. This is a little glove with bristles on it, and that's very good. And then once you don't necessarily need to comb them. You can actually use a plea comb on them, and you'd be surprised that a little bit of fluff will come out, which is a little bit of a surprising with that type of coat. And then to top that off, you could use a little bit of silk or velvet, a little bit of elbow grease along the back of the coat, and they come away gleaming.
And most of these tools, are they readily available?
Yes, any pet shop.
Just any pet shop, and they should be able to get them?
Most pet shops now, pets at home are good. The Mickey make, as I say, is quite a good, but there is an awful lot now that are being sold. So, no, they're readily available. The one brush that I think that you most really don't need at all, and in fact an awful lot of pet owners seem to have it, is a brush which is bristle one side and pin on the reverse side. Absolutely no good at all, really.
No, not really.
They come along and they said, oh no, they've diligently been brushing with this, but in fact you don't get back down to the depths of the coat. So you're just doing the surface. So surface, yes, it looks lovely. Should there be a little mat, you can actually yet, again, I'm not an agent for Mickey, but they do a very good little Mickey D-mat tool. That, you just have to be a little bit careful because it does have blades on, but it will loosen the mat. Once that's loosened, once you've combed that through with that a couple of times, you then move on to your slicker brush and then your comb again. But as I say, you do have to be a little bit careful with that. That I wouldn't use on a cat. Their skin is so fine. I'm not going to advocate using any scissors on dogs or cats, really, mainly because I've seen, through the veterinary world, I've seen too many cuts from people think they're just getting the mat and it's actually the skin there, and the animal then has to come in and be sewn up. So I'm not going to say that. You can actually get little clippers, little wool, W-A-H-L clippers, that you could use to remove any little mats that you just can't get with a little dematting tool. But as regards cats, just be very, very careful.
Yeah. And them clippers just use like the barber's clippers
on a human?
Just exactly.
They're only very, very small little ones. You hold it in your hand.
About 2 or 3 inches long, and that does the job
and
fine.
And that should do the job, just for the little mats. Anything sort of enormous, then I'd seek a good groomer.
That's great information there, John. Over the years, you must have had a lot of dogs and cats that have come in that have been a bit anxious with the process and been left by the owner. Is there anything you as a groomer can do to help alleviate the problem with them?
Oh, yes, yeah. No, in my workshop, I have a DAP diffuser. This is a pheromone. It's meant to be the bitch's pheromones that actually make the animal feel more at ease. And also lavender. Lavender's a very, very good calming thing for the dogs and the groomers, actually. So that's quite good. That anxious dogs, the minute the owner goes, I know it's, they really, I don't know whether they do believe me or not, but these anxious dogs come in and they are actually feeding off the owner as much as anything else, I think. Once the owner goes, they do calm down an awful lot. And then playing the owner up at home as regards grooming, I don't really see very much of it. I know they're out of their own territory and things like that. But really, it's just slowly, slowly. I can use the diffusers. I don't really seem to have very much trouble with the nervous dogs. They seem to get used to it very, very quickly. I may be lucky. I have a nice little group of animals, so that could be the case. But again, as regards my situation, I don't have anything here to disturb them. They are here. It's one-to-one. And we get it done as quickly as we can without doing that. As regards them being anxious at the groomers, the owners can do an awful lot more, an awful lot towards helping that, in that they get them used to grooming. You know, it really is very, very hard on the dog if they're not going to see a comb in between visits. So you're talking 6 to 8 weeks, and they are suddenly thrust into a groomer and combed and brushed, and it's all a little bit unusual for them. Even though they do go to a groomer, we do ask that they are groomed in between times, maybe not every day, but you know, you're paying an awful lot of money to have this done, and a little bit of a brush and a groom in between visits certainly extends the length of that nice clip that you've paid for. And really, it's just socialisation. With the puppies, I tend to, if somebody does have a puppy and ring, I will say that I will take them from after their vaccinations are complete. They're very welcome to bring them along for sort of 10 minutes at a time. Just come in, they sit on my table, I just examine the feet, take the tips off the nails if necessary. And they do this. I'm quite happy to have them in sort of every week and then every 2 weeks, and it extends as they get more used to it, and then they're listening more to the tools that are being used here. They get used to standing in the bath, they listen to the dryers and the blasters and the clippers if it's a breed that is going to be clipped in the future. So socialisation as regards that, I think, is very, very important, and it's certainly paid dividends in the animals that I've done this with. But again, that is up to the owner. It's socialisation. If you know you've taken on a puppy, and you're very good to go to the puppy classes at the vets and various things like this. But just remember, if it's going to be need to be groomed, have a word with your groomer as well, and see if you can work out a little routine with that until, you know, it's going to be with it for life.
Well, thanks again for that, Jan. Next thing I'd like to ask you is, well, it's relative to dogs with long hair, large coats, and those with short hair. And should a dog with short hair still be groomed as regularly as one with long hair? Because I suppose, looking at it in just from a layman's terms, that probably people think that a short-haired coated dog shouldn't be.
And the long-haired dogs, they really do need to be groomed every day, simple as that, just to keep them in good condition, and so that you can actually see something obvious. You know, a lump or a bump appearing on, say, a boxer is going to be picked up because it will be detected by a slightly different lay of the hair. You can quite often see that, whereas a long-haired one, it can be disguised for a long, long time. And just normally, you just don't routinely examine your dog every day. You're not touching every bit of it. So they should be. Short-haired dogs, I think maybe once a week for the short-haired dogs, but certainly with the long-haired dogs, a daily thing.
Going on to our little feline friends, should cats be groomed as regularly as dogs?
Yes, yes. Again, a long-haired cat, it benefits from being groomed every day. It may be most probably long-haired dogs you may be able to get, say every other day. With cats, I think with their hair type, and especially at times of the year when it's damp, we're seeing it more in the winter now, they really do need a daily groom, simple as that. Short-haired cats, again, maybe once a week, every 10 days, but that, again, is early detection for problems.
And with cats, do you find that they're more aggressive than the dogs when you're grooming them, or they're can
the
be
ones
just
we see are, mainly because they only come to us because they are a bit naughty. if you can cope at home, they don't come to me. Well, no, they can be rogues. There's certain breeds. Cats, if you think about it, just aren't told what to do. A dog, you're telling them to stand still, put your lead on. You stand still and wait for your food. Most of the cats today are grazers. Their food's down all the time. They're not told to come, sit, wait, or do whatever. A cat, it just rules the home, doesn't it, really? So when you're then saying, no, you sit still and be groomed, they're going to react. So with cats, you have to... It's very much the saying of less is more as regards handling with cats. You tend to let them get into a position on a table. You don't position them as you would a dog. You work around them as much as you can. But I won't work alone with cats. I work with somebody else. I know some groomers do work with with cats. Yes, very good. I admire them for that. But I tend to find it easier on them and me if there is somebody helping.
Somebody helping.
Yes.
so you don't get pawed to death.
Pawed, where's everything? We've got five weapons with cats, haven't we?
And just regarding that, if somebody was to start grooming the cat, would just do it in virtually the same way as a dog?
Yes.
Any different?
Yeah, no different at all, I don't think. But again, you can't expect them to sit stay.
Yeah.
They can learn, I'm sure, but I don't think a cat really takes to it. But again, as with the cat and the dog, they have to be started from the very
beginning.
Very beginning.
The earlier you start, the easier you'll handle.
Day two, you pick it up. Day one, let it settle in. Day two, get it into your routine.
Yeah.
And part of that routine should be grooming.
Can I ask you, do you equate a bad animal diet to a bad looking coat?
Yes, you don't see it that much now, mainly because the foods on offer nowadays are so well balanced, so you're not seeing the same. Well, I think I must really used to see it in the vets. You see dogs come in, but this was years and years ago. But there is a difference now. But yes, it can. It's the same as your eye. You know, if you're taking the right things in, then it's going to show in your skin, your hair, and it's the same for dogs.
And do you think the weight of an animal is a critical part of its well-being?
Oh, very much so. Yep. Again, it's reflecting. Do you mean in a grooming sense, or actually in?
No, just in the dog.
In general,
general.
It's the same as a human. You know, you're going to feel a lot better, miserably, being a little bit on the lighter side than not. And you have to bear in mind that it's the joints and things that go when the animal's older, and also not forgetting that they can't actually say, "Oh, don't give me this, don't give me that." They're going to eat whatever's there.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, when I'm walking my dogs, I mean, I see quite a few dogs that are overweight.
Yeah, no, it is. It's a shame.
It is a shame. And people have got this thing that, you know, if the dog's looking for a treat or something, they give it and then it just gets more treats and more treats, or they feed it so many times.
I think that has come down a lot. I think people
There's a lot of awareness now.
Much more aware.
Than they used to be.
And I can't say that I have. I've got a handful that are overweight, most probably. But the majority, no, they're not bad. You know, you can lose a little bit, but no. I think the majority of the animals that come through my doors are good.
Good. That's excellent. Yeah, Jan, I'd like to ask you, what are the very basic requirements that a dog or cat need to stay healthy?
I think it's mostly the good diet, a change of water daily, obviously, and exercise, if you can, once or twice daily. It has to benefit the dog in a very big way.
Yeah. What about cats themselves? I mean, just plenty of water for them. Because, I mean, not many people go walking a cat on a lead, do they? The cat just goes.
They walk themselves, don't they, really?
Don't see you walking down the high street with your cat on a lead behind you.
You can. I have seen one around here. But, no, they just basic. Those basic needs are the same for any animal.
Good.
Cat, dog, guinea pig, rabbit.
Yeah. One of the things that people, I would think, would be aware of, but just in case there's somebody out there who isn't aware of it, that human chocolate is a very bad thing for dogs. Would you like to give your opinion on that?
Theobromine. It's a stimulant that's contained in the cocoa bean. So it's a different type of chocolate that can be very, very toxic to animals. So white chocolate is the least of it. Then you come on to the milk chocolate, the sweet cocoa, and then the baking chocolate, which is very, very toxic. It is a stimulant. It can affect the heart. They can become hyperactive. It can lead to vomiting, diarrhea. And it is lethal. It can, if consumed enough. It is very, very dangerous.
So
just keep your animals off chocolate.
If you give human chocolate to cats and dogs on a regular basis, you're virtually slowly killing
a cat. I don't think many
cat.
Cats will eat it.
No.
I'm really talking sort of
well, dogs will eat anything.
Dogs, oh yes, no. I mean, most probably on a regular basis. I don't think it accumulates. I can't be sure on that. I'd have to ask a vet about that. But I think the most cases that I used to see, not the most, it didn't happen that regularly, but I have seen it. It is when a dog has eaten a box of chocolates. It's not the odd little bit here and there. It is the fact that it is the amount consumed in one go that is toxic. And it will require veterinary treatment. They should, veterinary treatment or advice should be sought, definitely.
Going on to chocolate and other things human, should animals be fed human food? And if so, can a dog exist on it alone, or should it be part of a balanced diet formula?
I don't think they should be fed it, really. I think if they can have the odd tidbit here and there, just as a little treat if you want to give your animal a treat. But no, I don't think they should be fed on it. I think if they have to, if they really will not eat any of the brands on the market, and human food has to be resorted to, then yes, there's going to have to be an addition of vitamins, minerals, and various things like that.
Because, I mean, human food's for humans, and dog food's got everything in it for dogs and cats, and they should be fed it accordingly, or at least a portion of, to keep them...
And I think you really do have to be aware also that when a dog food does say it's complete, that it is complete.
It is complete.
You do not have to add, as I've had a couple of people come in, you do not add biscuit or meat to it. A complete food is a complete food.
All right. And do you think dry or the wet food is best for a cat or dog?
It really doesn't matter. I don't think there's... I think it's up to the owner's choice or the dog if they really want to eat
it
one
doesn't
or
matter.
The other. But obviously with the dry food, you really must have fresh water down at all times.
Yes.
Not that it should be down anyway. But you have to be ultra careful that if you're going to actually feed dry food dry, because it can be actually soaked, there should be a good supply of water there.
Fresh water there. So it's got nothing.
I don't really think it makes an awful lot... much difference to the teeth, because not many dogs chew their food anyway, it's just picked up and swallowed. So I don't think there's an argument for that as regards wet or dry.
I mean, because I was reading an article once that a dog who weighed over about 30 pounds or so should be given dry food. And would you go along with that? Or
I don't see any reason logically.
No. Yeah, so it was just in an article somewhere I saw it, and I was just wondering what your point of view was on that. As more people are now watching what they eat in relation to preservatives in their own food, should animal owners pay the same attention to the pet's food? And if so, are the food ingredients easily available on the packaging for the owners to see what they're actually giving the dogs?
Yeah, I think they are easily available, because I have looked at a good few over the years. I think, you know, if you're being careful about what you consume, then you're responsible for your animal's intake, then be responsible for what's going into them as well. But I think the main brands of food now are very good.
Yep. Jan, if I could ask you, what breeds of dog or cat need more attention than others?
I think attention-wise, all the basic needs of all cats and dogs would be the same. But if it comes to the coat care, then obviously an Old English sheepdog is very different to, say, a boxer or a Persian to a Siamese. There are certain breeds that you'd have to be a little bit careful. Say the bulldogs, anything with the wrinkly faces, you'd have to be a little bit more careful with the face care of that. You'd have to examine the creases and make sure they're not getting damp or sore. I think overall attention is the same for all our four legged friends.
Right, Jan, can I ask you, how important is oral hygiene to an animal?
It's very, very important, I think, oral hygiene. Not least of all because it's not very pleasant when your little dog or cat comes and says hello to you in the evening and breathes bad breath all over you. But most importantly, sort of any dental care needed has to be carried out by a vet. And then it may require a general anaesthetic. So really, it's prevention's better than cure. You don't want to get your animal to keep on having a general anaesthetic. There are so many things you can do. Get your dog or cat used to having their teeth brushed daily from the word go again. I do my cats. They're not happy about it. The dogs are fine, but the cats really do resist. But it does pay dividends in the end. Other than the anaesthetic risk that obviously there are when your animal is put under for teeth trouble, you have got the problem of a bad mouth, bad teeth. It's painful, the dog or cat. You know, they're not going to be very happy about eating. They can be painful, the teeth, so eating could become a problem. And also... there can be problems with the heart, believe it or not, with extremely bad mouths. You don't see that many bad mouths now because they're picked up so quickly. It can lead to heart problems if it is ignored. So check your animals. Maybe an animal's mouth every week. You know, you're grooming them. Just lift up those gums and have a look. But also brush them. Maybe not daily, maybe every other day. Ask your vet what they advise and then what brush and toothpaste too used. They've all got them on the shelf now, I noticed, with the vets, so that's no problem.
That was going to be my next question, with brushes and toothpaste.
Brushes and toothpaste at the vets, you can also get them at the pet stores as well.
Yeah, so it's just a case of taking advice.
But really, it is really worth keeping an eye on those teeth.
And check your teeth and everything like this.
Just when you're grooming, you keep your eyes on your eyes, the ears, teeth, any area, the nail beds, just under the underside of the paw. Quite often, you know, you go out, you may have missed a nick that they've run over something. Not all dogs are complainers, but the majority are, but not all of them are, and we'll go around with a cut that could possibly need attention. So just, you know, literally check from top to tail.
Lovely. Well, I think we've done more than enough that
than enough.
People can find something that can benefit from out of this interview. So
good.
I'd like to say thank you very much for sparing me the time to do this with me. I know you're very busy, and you've took the time out of your busy schedule to accommodate me. And so
yeah, you're very welcome.
Thank you very much, Jan.
Very well.
And I hope you will let me call on you at future time to pick your brains and that again.
Of course you can.
And for the benefit of the listeners.
Right.
Lovely, thank you.
Nice talking to you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, this is Ted Newman from Pet Health Podcast. We hope you found some of the information useful. There's a lot of things that yourselves as owners can do for your pets to keep them healthy. Just simple things, plenty of clean water, regular checking of the coats and check the teeth and things like that. And we'll see you next time on Pet Health Podcast. Bye for now.